Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. Peace in the Middle East is in everyone's interest, says our distinguished guest, former Ambassador Martin Indyk. He twice served as United States Ambassador to Israel during the Clinton administration and briefly under George W. Bush. Focused on the future, Ambassador Indyk revisited his experiences in Innocent Abroad, an intimate account of American peace diplomacy in the Middle East. To America's pro-Israel lobby, Ambassador Indyk says the best way to secure Israel is to secure peace. And he says both the region and the world are ready.
There is a broad consensus across the world now that we have to resolve this conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, and there is a solution. That is to say, an independent Palestinian state, viable, contiguous, in the West Bank and Gaza, living alongside a Jewish state of Israel in peace. And Shimon Peres says, we all know the light at the end of the tunnel. The problem is we don't have a tunnel. The problem is how do we get there? And we have to harness that intention. You know, there are 23 Arab states who have signed up to ending the conflict with Israel through the Arab League Peace Initiative. And now there's like, I think it's 56 Muslim countries, including the Arab states, who are also signed on to this peace initiative. People are kind of exhausted by this conflict. They need to see an end to it. They can see that it's Al-Qaeda and it's Hamas and it's Hezbollah and it's Ahmadinejad who are gaining from this conflict. And everybody else is losing. So people would like to see it finished. But the heart of the problem here is that Palestinians and Israelis, while they believe in a two-state solution, they don't believe it's possible anymore. And Barack Obama's critical challenge is to convince Israelis and Palestinians, the people, that it can still work and reinstill some hope in the minds of the people that, in fact, making peace is going to secure their futures better than continuing with this bloody conflict.
Retired Ambassador Martin Indyk is now director of the Sabin Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution. In Innocent Abroad, he details and critiques the sweep of U.S. policy in the Middle East, which he helped develop and implement. Ambassador Indyk was born in England and educated in Australia before making the U.S. his home in the early 1980s. With experience at the highest levels of government, he is one of the United States' top diplomats. Bill Russell and I share Ambassador Indyk's conclusion that innocence, like ignorance, is not bliss, especially in international relations. And we entered this conversation confident there's much to be learned from experience.
Ambassador Martin Indyk, I was reading Innocent Abroad when I called a friend of mine who is a news junkie. And he said, Paul, I can't talk right now. I said, are you all right, Stephen? And he said, oh, I'm all right, but the news is on. And I said, oh, okay. And I got off the phone thinking, well, he's going to know about current events, but he's not going to know what's happening. Am I right?
Well, you need some context, that's for sure. Especially when you're dealing with the part of the world that I've had to deal with in the Middle East.
The Middle East is the perfect example of that, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Because it is so different to what we in the United States have as the American experience. And it is, a history that goes back to biblical times, of course, and before that, but it is the crucible of the three great faiths and religions. It has a really deep history and culture and values that have developed there that aren't like ours. And yet, when we look at the world, and that's why I titled this book, Innocent Abroad, is that we look at it with this kind of innocence. We tend to assume that everybody's like us. Wants to be like us if they're not.
I got the feeling, reading, this is a riveting story. This is really 4,000 years or 40. I got the feeling that we had this really nice big kid who was kind of klutzy, who was playing tic-tac-toe against grandmaster chess players, and a lot of them, each of whom had a different game in mind.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. I don't think Bill Clinton was klutzy, but he.
I'm in America, but you could America being just kind of It's great, and that's the can do, as you say.
It's very true in the sense that we are this overwhelming force. You know, I'm not just talking about militarily, but overall, we are the superpower. And that's especially been the case since the collapse of the Soviet Union. You know, in the days when the Soviet Union was around, the Middle East was a point of superpower competition between the United States and the Soviet Union. And the game that was played there at that time was everybody was playing off the two superpowers, off against each other.
Well, with some success.
Indeed, with great success. The game changed when the Soviet Union collapsed and we were the dominant superpower. And then, you know, we went in there and booted Saddam Hussein's army out of Kuwait. And now we were the dominant military power in the region as well. And so suddenly we had the ability to do things that we didn't have before. During the Cold War, we were trying to play what's referred to as a balance of power game. We were trying to balance the Soviet Union and its proxies in the region. And it was the era of Henry Kissinger, realpolitik. And not just him. I mean, it goes back all the way to the, you know, to Eisenhower after the war. Suddenly, we don't have to play a balance of power game anymore. We're dominant. And so our presidents, Clinton and Bush after him, in very different ways, but still had the same idea that we can now transform this troubled region. We can sally forth into the bazaars of the Middle East and make it over in our own image. In Clinton's case is a more peaceful place. In Bush's case is a more democratic place. But in both cases, more like us.
And the people on the street were all waiting for it.
Well, that's exactly right, because they've seen great powers come and go for centuries. For centuries, from, you know, all the way back to Alexander the Great, Napoleon, the Ottoman Turks, the British, the French. Now come the Americans, except we came with a naivete that the others did not. The others failed too. But in some ways, it was the goodness of our desire to help out here that was exploited.
I have to say that we were in Egypt in 1999 and were met at the airport by our guide. And
an Egyptologist.
Our Egyptologist.
And he said, I understand you're having this neat little celebration of you know, the millennium, 2,000 years. And
He was a delightful, funny guy.
Yasser. And he said, that's cute. we're at five and counting.
Right. Well, indeed, Egypt is an ancient civilization.
Well, and you mentioned, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, no, but I was going to say apropos of the millennium. I was Assistant Secretary of State at that moment, in charge of the whole Middle East. And so we were worried about what would happen if the computers shut down. You remember that big scare. And so we had to have all our embassies report on what the computer situation was in each of these countries. And we were very worried about the water system in Syria, in Damascus in particular. And the embassy reported back then, they don't have a 2K problem. They don't even have a 1K problem.
They don't have a K problem.
They have a 7K problem. We're going to be back in just a moment with Ambassador Martin Indyk. Please be with us when we return.